Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys who know better and do it anyway, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, we are starting another build a crew, build a team, build a build.
Put
build
a bear. Together, yes.
No, we're not building bears. Well, there have been bears. Have there ever been bears?
We have creatures and animals for sure. So bears aren't entirely out of the picture.
Yeah. So we're always thinking of, it seems like we want to thank you all. We get a lot of good feedback for these build a crews. We'll just call them build a crews.
Yep.
Well, our thought experiments where we try to put together the ultimate team of whatever. We've done tons of them in the past, and you can go through our back catalog and look for those.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, feel free to suggest ones too. That's what I was getting at. If you have a suggestion, hit us up on the socials, and we get suggestions all the time. And I can't remember if this came out of our heads or someone else's heads, or if this was knocking around in there. We could have very well heard it from somewhere.
It's a fun thought experiment. I think we thought it up, but we've gotten suggestions before, so we've been going through them. But, I mean, it's like recasting a movie. It's like, who would you want to put in the ultimate spot, which is always fun.
So if this was your suggestion and we forgot you told us, we're not stealing from you, we promise. So today on Build a Crew, we're doing, well, you know, it's the dark times
yes.
And though this isn't a true apocalypse, there is plenty of things that have been true apocalypses in media.
Yes.
And one of the things is that you get the Walking Dead, the zombie movies. Walking Dead's more kind of like what we're aiming for, the Left 4 Dead game series, but there's often a group of survivors that need to make their way in the post-apocalyptic world, whether it be zombies, whether it be robots, whether it be
alien invasion,
yeah, any of this stuff. There's so much.
Yes.
There's so much. Whether it be nuclear war or an alternate future, and you get the Fallout games. That's a post-apocalyptic game series there with all kinds of characters and stuff.
There you go.
So we're going to go through some archetypes. I used to say archetypes when I was a kid. That's not right, is it?
That's like place bow. Everybody has that word that they've read before they've heard said out loud, and it's like, I've only ever heard this word in my brain. And Archetype.
Tomato. I was watching Jamie Oliver cook the other day, and every time he'd say tomato, I'd be like, oh, tomato.
They wrote a song about it.
This has good vitamins. So we're doing the zombie apocalypse. What are the categories, Mikey? You got them in front of you?
I do have them in front of me. So these are the survivors, you know. The end of the world has happened for whatever reason, and these are the people that are left over that are like, hey, we got to do something. So usual trope that you see in all sorts of media are the military vet, the gang member, the office worker, the nerd, the jock, the mechanic, and the first responder.
Yes, those are all very common tropes, and we're starting at the top with the grizzled old military vet.
Yep,
as it were,
or whatever, ex-something.
So basically the rules for this one are we are picking from any kind of fictional media, generally trying to stay away from characters with like superpowers or things that basically would negate the fact that there was an apocalypse anyway, because, you know, they managed kind of in the Marvel movies to kind of do an apocalypse by having the snap and half the people disappear and all that stuff, but that was still fixed by supers.
But it was still a challenge to them, so it still balanced out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking more of the either near past, near future. We're talking about the Walking Dead type worlds, the Left 4 Dead type worlds, the Night of the Living Dead. Can we put more dead in there?
It is the apocalypse.
And even like near future stuff, like the Terminator type world.
The John Connors and all that. Yep.
Yeah, that's a robot apocalypse, as it were. So that's kind of the bounds we're putting ourselves in. So
I think that comes from our tabletop and that we don't want to break the game. You know, we got to have a character that fits the scenario.
Yes, exactly. We don't want to break the game. So that being said, today we're doing the military veteran, the guy who, or girl, who is just their, the apocalypse has decimated their unit. Maybe decimated the entire army, and they're one of the few ones left.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because they're so tough, and usually they usually tend to be older and grizzled and that type of thing. So that's the archetype we're filling in today. So as always, I talk too much. So Mikey will start us off with this third choice. Third choice is often the throwaway fun choice. Yes. So we'll see. We'll see what Mikey's got on that.
Here comes my wild card for military vet. A couple of mine skew a little bit younger because I was trying to think of older dudes, and they're really that's a really narrow archetype for me. So I went a little bit younger, but he still fits. Anyway, bearing the lead, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, specifically from the movie Walking Tall. Does this register at all?
Yes. No, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So just, yeah. So off the bat.
Which is a remake. Walking Tall is a remake.
It is indeed. It's actually...
What was this? Who was the first? Who was the original?
Joe Don Baker.
That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right.
Who I originally thought... I thought it was Charles Bronson. It seemed like a Death Wish type movie. Speaking of death again. But it seems like a Charles Bronson type movie because the whole premise of Walking Tall, both in this from the 70s original and the 2004 remake with The Rock, is that... an ex-vet comes back to his hometown and realizes that it's overrun with these pests that happen to be casino people. There's a new casino in town, and it's taking over the town. They're taking everybody's money. They're screwing everybody over. And so the ex-vet comes back, and he picks up his trusty weapon for this movie, which is the whole premise, but he's walking tall with a big stick, so he has this giant 2x4 that he carries around.
2x4.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the only weapon he has. And he basically fixes his hometown in a 2-hour span, you know. So,
with a 2x4.
Yeah. So if we're talking zombies, if we're talking just an infestation of robots or aliens and somebody that gives a damn about, hey, this is, you know, where I come from and I want to protect it, you know, with whatever means necessary, even if that's a giant piece of lumber or whatever, I pick The Rock absolutely any day of the week. Like I said, he's on the younger side, but he, you know, I think The Rock can handle it.
Yeah. I don't remember if they gave him very much backstory other than like he's back from the war, right?
That's it. That was the whole buy-in. Yeah, he's an ex-vet. And he's back from duty, and he's not happy with how his hometown is.
Right. Oh, that's fun. Yeah. That fits well into it. That's a good choice. Yeah. Man, that's a strong choice for, I mean, you pulled some star power in there. I wouldn't even think that's a throwaway number three choice. I'm interested in hearing your other choices now.
Well, it also made me curious. I couldn't think of any, so I'll put it to you. Can you think of, have they made a Rock movie where he fights zombies?
Because
everything I know is like Fast and the Furious and all the action movies and all that. Jumanji.
Yeah. No, I can't think of one where he fights. That's weird. He doesn't seem to do very many like fantasy type things.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Everything seems to be pretty much just, I mean, Jumanji's fantasy. I know that, but it's still like kind of pseudo modern setting.
Yeah. I think Vin Diesel just beats him out. Still in project.
Yeah. I can't think of tons of like sci-fi / like swords and sorcery vehicles that had The Rock in them.
Well, I'm putting it out there. I want to see The Rock in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Or as a Terminator type dude. He'd fit that role perfectly.
Yeah, that'd be great. The Rock.
Yes. For my wild card third pick.
All right. My third pick as the wild card, the throwaway, often the third pick breaks the rules. So this does break the rules a little bit. But immediately when we said grizzled veteran, this video game character popped in my head. And even when I mentioned it to my kids, it was the first thing that they said. So from the very popular video game, we have a grizzled veteran, Soldier 76 from Overwatch.
Oh, red.
Now, the reason why he's kind of disqualified is because he's basically Captain America.
In video game form.
In video game form, yeah. Now, I don't know if you know, but Overwatch has a very extensive, fluffy backstory for just like a shooter tournament game.
Yeah, it doesn't need the backstory, but there's lore to it.
I think that's because it's Blizzard, and you know
that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, there's comics, there's animations, there's all kinds of stuff that fills in the background of this, the generic soldier character that you can play. He's kind of one of the most basic, easy to start with. You know, when you're starting Overwatch, try and start with Soldier 76.
Right on.
But he's got this crazy backstory, and it does take a lot from Captain America, because he's an American guy who is in the military, and he volunteers for the Super Soldier program. It's not called the Super Soldier program, but basically is. And they put a serum into him, which gives him powers that makes him the ultimate. It's Captain America.
I was going to say Captain America.
But some differences are interesting. Overwatch is really big on being diverse. Mm-hmm. And Soldier 76, well, before he was Soldier 76, his whole backstory is that he was Commander Morrison of Overwatch. And basically, the Soldier 76 character... So Commander Morrison, I'm not to spoil everything, I don't know, or to go long, because if you want to look at it, this backstory is long. We could talk about this for like a half an hour, the backstory is so long for Soldier 76.
That's awesome.
But basically, Commander Morrison was in a facility that got blown up and to the point where he was presumed dead, and he was buried, and he's dead as a hero, and there's statues of him and stuff. And then suddenly this mysterious character starts showing up, Soldier 76, who has a lot of the fighting techniques and styles of former Commander Morrison. So,
okay,
there you go, right? But what I was getting to is the diversity thing is that Overwatch is known for having a lot of female characters, a lot of people of different ethnic backgrounds, and Commander Morrison is he's homosexual, he's gay.
Oh, okay.
So that's the interesting thing there, because, you know, blonde white guy with blue eyes and shiny smile. But, you know, it's like Neil Patrick Harris could play him.
Oh, I could see that.
Very, very well. They have that handsome, because part of the whole thing is like when he was Commander Morrison, because now he's been blown up. So he's kind of like scarred and has like a face mask. So you don't know what it looks like under there.
Yeah.
And everything. But before he was like the blonde, handsome, all-American, he could get away with a smile and a wink.
Yep.
You know, that type of thing. So, and he was the commander of Overwatch. Basically, what happens in Overwatch is it is a post-apocalyptic story, kind of. Mm-hmm. There's kind of the Omnix are robots that kind of rise up, and then Overwatch is created to suppress them, and he's the commander of it. And then once the robots are suppressed, it's like, what do we do with this organization? And then it turns into, it's Avengers, really. I hate to say that they're stealing from things, but it's basically
just heavily inspired.
Basically, like, listen, well, here's the bullet points. There was a crisis. A group of superheroes was created to fight the crisis. The crisis is over. The governments of the world aren't sure what to do with the superheroes. So they go to bust up the superhero group, which causes problems within the superhero group as some of them separate and some of them don't. Some of them turn into the vigilante criminals. And it's like,
they have a civil war and everything. Oh, no.
Yeah, yes, they do. So, okay. Not very original, I guess, but hey, there you go.
If right? You love something, put it, I guess, write what you know. And apparently a lot of the Overwatch production crew was huge Marvel nerds.
Yeah, I guess so. So I guess I'm kind of calling them to Matt here now that I'm working through this. But he's a cool character because he's grizzled and has all these, you know, the voice lines, we're all soldiers now. And actually the fun thing is there's a lot of fun. Fans get into fun things with Overwatch. I'm sure you know. They mm-hmm. do all kinds of fun memes and stuff.
Yep.
And he's kind of considered like the dad character to all the younger characters.
Oh, that's perfect for the trope, yeah.
So that one of the skins they have is the Grillmaster 76 skin, where he's like, looks like a dad at a grill. Basically, he's got an apron on and, you know, a Bermuda shorts and, you know, and a Hawaiian shirt, basically.
Hey, Johnny, and, you having a hot dog or a hamburger?
One exactly. Of okay. Yeah. Exactly. And as that's one of the skins, it's a favorite to cosplay for a lot of like older nerds at conventions and stuff, because they can be Grillmaster 76.
That's wonderful.
So it's fun. Fun. So Soldier 76.
He sounds
third choice.
Oh, that sounds perfect. He fits the role. I mean, he knows how to, you know, organize troops. He knows strategy.
Yep.
And
yep.
I say they go whole hog and just, if they make an Overwatch movie, make a Chris Evans. Just, you know, complete the parallel.
Yeah, why not? You did this before. You've been two superheroes already.
Yeah. You've been the Torch. Yeah. Yeah. Human Torch.
Yeah.
But that's if Neil Patrick Harris is busy. So.
Yeah.
there's a list, though. Well, that's a great third pick. So that means it's time for second picks. Easy peasy.
Second picks.
Again, like I said, I skewed a little bit on the younger side for this one, but I don't know. The coolness factor outweighs it for me, so bend the rules. But I pick for second in military vet command would be Dr. John Watson, compatriot and friend to Sherlock Holmes, specifically Martin Freeman from the BBC version of Sherlock.
Oh, really? Is he? Oh, wait. Yeah, he was, right?
Yep.
Oh, was he always, even in the old ones, was he like a former military guy?
What did it, like, in the Arthur Conan Doyle original stories, it's hinted at, but no, I don't think it's ever explicitly said. Like, it said he served time in the wars, like, you know, vague and plural.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in those days, the British were colonizing and creating all kinds of problems for the world.
Exactly. So, they
weren't those the days when they were ruining Africa?
Probably. It's like, hey, oh, we can have that? Okay, we'll take that. Yeah, we'll go here and here and here.
It's because they had a flag.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
Eddie Izzard?
Oh, absolutely. Do you have a flag? We have a flag. But it was absolutely during those times for the original John Watson. But for the BBC version, they actually specified that he was in Afghanistan. Like, he served time. So, like, he's actual ex-army. And up there, I think he was a medic for most of it, you know, but a high-ranking one at that.
Yeah.
So that's really where the main plus comes in for me, is that for zombie apocalypse, like, there's such a medical aspect to those things. Like, there's usually the twist in the third act where either somebody gets bitten or scrapes themselves or breaks an ankle and they slow everybody down, you know? So John Watson, you got all the military experience, but also he's a doctor, you know? That's what you want in the end of the world. I know I'm a klutz, you know? I'm going to hit my head on something. So I'll have Martin Freeman patch me up.
Soldier and a medic. Martin Freeman wasn't he Bilbo?
He was. The Hobbit,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not that for Lord of the Rings. That was Ian Holm, but yes.
That guy's a good actor. See, we kind of cast these things too, in a way, who we'd like to see. So we're half picking character, half picking the actor who played the character in a specific thing.
Oh, very much.
Because come on, why not, right? And we can all, you know, even if we're making a video game over here, we can do that thing that video games love to do where you're playing, you're like, this character really looks like this actor, right?
Like they Google image search that actor and used it for all their 3D scans.
Haven't there been some like lawsuits or questions or things about?
I think that, I know of one. Ellen Page had a lawsuit against The Last of Us. I know that was
right. Yeah, because that's her.
100%. Like even as playing with the character, it has that sort of sense. Like you'd see her playing that character in a movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. Be a little less good at making it, I guess. Video game guys,
or if you're making enough money, actually get the person you want.
That's true. Right.
You know, you're AAA now. Play with the big boys.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's interesting. I don't know if they're trying to do a like how Disney said that they based their cartoon Aladdin on Tom Cruise.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I don't know.
I believe it.
Did he have a middle tooth in Aladdin? No.
that would have been that middle tooth time period, the source of all his power.
That's a good second pick. Yes, a soldier and a medic is a good choice.
Yeah, he loses some points because he technically has a bum knee, so he is he does have a handicap, which isn't good in the apocalypse, but I don't know. He's smart and crafty. I think he can overcome it.
Yeah, that's a good one. So kind of like with the first one, with the second one, I was kind of looking at kind of apocalypse stuff.
Yes.
And this second one is, I mean, it's sort of an apocalypse thing. I'm not sure, but it's something that's playing a lot on the TV at my house. And one of the characters I think is fun. And so I picked Dot Pixis from Attack on Titan.
Ooh, Attack on Titan. Nice.
Yes. Attack on Titan, the anime, it was originally a manga, of course, and I haven't watched a ton of it. I watched the whole first season, most of the second season, My kids are way further ahead than I am in it, which is fine. because I really only needed to see a little bit of the first season to realize that this guy is great in an apocalyptic situation. Because it's basically Attack on Titan, if you don't know anybody out there. Basically, it seems like it's an alternate world, a sort of steampunky world, mm-hmm. where humanity has been forced in behind walls of these massive cities because out in the world, there's these giants. They're just giants.
Titans.
They call them titans. They're naked giants with no genitalia who walk around eating people. And that's it. That's the basis behind it. So
it's
if
like
you
zombies,
leave,
but huge.
Yeah, so it is. It's exactly like zombies. If you leave the safety of the walls, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get eaten by a giant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So people stay in the walls for safety. And as such, there are soldiers who protect the civilians and guard the walls. And there's really three factions of soldiers. There's the military police, who are kind of bought and sold by the nobles and are basically the nobles' personal security force. There's the garrison troops, who are basically the guys who man the walls and the cannon on the walls. And then the main characters are mostly the scouts, and those are the foolhardy slash brave ones who go outside the walls and fight titans. And they have they shoot wires. They're like Spider-Man, basically. They shoot wires and fly around on wires and use like disposable swords to cut the titans in the back of the head.
Those are the guys that are flying around. I've only seen a few episodes myself, but those guys are the coolest because they have that sort of grappling hook, like Just Cause.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Grappling hook. That's what it is. Yes. Well, it reminds me because the way they travel around is very Spider-Man-like.
Yep.
But yes, they have grappling hooks on the sides of their hips that shoot out, as well as these. They look like giant versions of those disposable X-Acto blades that can break off. And that's what they use to cut the Titans, and like their weak point is the back of the nape of their neck.
Okay.
So
if
you cut them on the nape of their neck, they'll fall. And there you go. So that's the basic premise behind it. So Dot Pixis he's this bald guy with a gray mustache. And I only had to see him in a few episodes ago. That guy is great. He's the garrison commander. He's the commander of the garrison troops.
Okay.
And he's really grizzled. He's been through it. He's seen it. But he's given charge of one of the new scout troops to train them. So there's a whole thing with him training. And he's very, I don't know how to say it. I want to say very Japanese in the way he trains them, because it makes me think of Mr. Miyagi. Whether he's very Japanese or not, but he seems like he is because Mr. Miyagi is from Okinawa.
But it's that old school kung fu mentor type, like wise man type role.
Yeah, well, yeah, but also with the twist, because Attack on Titans geared towards adults more, so he has a little bit of a drinking problem, as most of them seem to, because of what they have to deal with. They see people getting eaten all the time. So
they're being terrorized by giant naked people. I'd drink too.
Right. And one of the things that happens is there's a dispute between some of the cadets, and he makes them solve it with a cooking contest. So, I mean, I don't know. For some reason, that seems so Japanese to me.
I believe it, yeah.
And Mr. Miyagi, too. Like, why do I have to wax all your cars?
Yeah, why am I painting a fence? Exactly.
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, the thing that sold me on him I like this character is this is early on in the series, so it's not much of a spoiler. It can't be but within the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. And obviously, something has to happen for the show to get exciting. But basically, I guess the Titans have been quiet for a long time and everything's been relatively peaceful. But then something happens and the Titans are attacking and they manage to breach one of the walls. And of course, that's a huge crisis. And as the garrison commander, he needs to be informed because he's in charge of these walls not falling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually playing chess. I think it's chess. Yeah. He's playing chess with one of the like lords near the city center, because there's more walls as you go in towards the middle of the lands.
Gotcha.
So the safer it is, because the more walls. And of course, the wealthy people are in the middle and the poor people are out near the walls.
Makes sense. Yep.
So he's out there with this lord and stuff, and one of a courier shows up and he's like, you know, this wall's been breached. And immediately the Lord starts freaking out, getting all scared and stuff. Uh-huh. And he stands up and he's like, okay, I need to go now. And he's like, no, you have to stay here and protect me. And Pixis is like, no. basically what it amounts to. There's a whole conversation, but I mean, there's this nobleman is like blubbering and like freaking out and ordering him around, and because they're used to having control over the military police, but he's not a military police. He's a garrison commander. So he's just sitting there calmly walking while this nobleman's blubbering that like, you need to stay here and protect me. You need, and, you know, and he's like, I got a job to do.
Yep.
I'll see you later, fat. You know,
there are things more important than you.
Yes. So he's really concerned about the safety of humanity, really concerned about the safety of his troops. There's times where he does a thing where it's like, if you're too scared to fight, just leave, because I don't even want you here.
I don't have time for you.
So yeah, I don't have time. And some of the people do leave, and he's just like, good riddance. So he's one of those type of commanders. And then also there's times where he gives speeches. He makes decisions that are controversial that end up saving people, you know, things like that. Yeah. So to me, that's the kind of guy you want on a team in an apocalypse, which he kind of is.
Yeah, I mean, so, that's an apocalyptic mentality for sure.
So
that's great.
He's been through it. He's seen it. He's grizzled. And he's bald with a mustache.
He kind of looks like anime version of Jean-Luc Picard to me. Because I wasn't familiar with the character. I had to look it up and I was like, holy crap, it's Japanese Picard.
Kind of, in a way. He's based on some old imperial Japanese general from like the turn of the last century.
Oh, that's cool.
So back when they were fighting the Russians.
I got you.
So,
have they said if he's actually, has he ever been one of the fly around grappling hook guys? Do we know that?
I don't think I've ever seen him doing that. Generally, the garrison guys don't do that. That's the scouts.
Yeah, they're just on the wall for the garrison.
The garrison guys have cannons and muskets.
Oh, okay.
So,
but hey, if he can take on giant titans, I'm pretty sure he can handle some brain eating zombies or robots.
Yes, 100%.
That's great.
Dot Pixis is my second choice.
Dot Pixis. I dig it. But that means we are at our top picks. And speaking of old and grizzled, and speaking of seeing some stuff, done some stuff, but, you know, swap out the word stuff because we're a PG-13 podcast.
Yes.
My pick for number one, the old ex-military grizzled vet that I want on my apocalypse team to protect me from zombies and robots and aliens is Kurt Russell, a.k.a. Colonel Jack O'Neill from Stargate.
Oh, wow. Stargate.
Yeah, and I know that's skirting the lines of sci-fi, but here it is. Like,
no, I mean, that's like, it's near, it's like, no, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Okay.
Because that's one of those found technology worlds.
Yes. And it's not military that are like, it's not future military. It's like if our Marines went over to a planet because we suddenly had FTL technology, you know, this is kind of how it would go down.
Yeah, it's found technology. We didn't, right? Yeah. Isn't it the Stargates were found, right? They're like ancient
predecessor thing.
Yeah, exactly. I always get it mixed up with the TV show, but there's the same lore.
Well, and it's the same character. So Kurt Russell played the character in the movie, and that's the one I know. But if you're a fan of the shows, SG-1, the first of the series, it's that same colonel. So, same lieutenant general, sorry. He gets promoted for the show.
Richard Dean Anderson, right? MacGyver?
Exactly.
Yes.
So, as a backup, I mean, as the stand-in for Kurt Russell, you get MacGyver in case he dies in the apocalypse, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
But speaking of apocalypse, that's kind of what Stargate is. They go to this planet. There's a bomb on the planet that's going to essentially just destroy everybody. So, it is the end of this world for a world that they have just shown up in. So, Kurt Russell overcomes unknown territory. He overcomes unknown hostiles and unknown peoples, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He learns a new language. He eats new food. And he stops the bomb from blowing up all while light years away in space. So... What can't Kurt Russell do? I don't know. I mean, Big Trouble, Little China, Escape from New York. He was Snake Plissken, if we're taking Kurt Russell as a whole.
No, that character is good on his own, for sure.
Yeah, but every time I see Kurt Russell, he shows up as a badass. So I want to see him in he's another one I don't think he's been in a zombie movie straight up. So, again, putting it out there.
Right. When did that Stargate movie come out? That original one.
Stargate, the movie, came out in 1994.
94, wow. Make me feel old.
Yep.
Because I was like 20? Ugh, wow. crazy. When's the last time you saw that? That might be a good reassumption right there.
It might be a good reassumption, but that kind of falls in the same grouping with Knight's Tale for me, in that if it was on TNT in the afternoon, I probably sat and watched it on TV.
Yeah, you've seen it a bunch?
I have. Also, like, okay. that was one of the movies, like, DVDs were first becoming a thing, and Stargate yeah. was the DVD they included with any player you could buy. Like, every time I saw a player
really?
Deal, yeah, it was Stargate and Independence Day. Those were like, test out your system, watch these movies, look how high def it is.
That's funny. Yeah. That's great.
I think that's half the reason for why Stargate is so popular. But
well, I'm sure having a TV show afterwards helped to carry it on.
Yep.
So, wow, that's great. You could have picked Snake Plissken too, probably. But he was a criminal, wasn't he?
He was. He wasn't ex-military. He was a bad dude happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. So, there you go. All right, that's a great number one pick.
Yep.
Like Stargate was good, and Kurt Russell and anything's good too.
Yeah, if you feel like slandering Kurt Russell, absolutely let me know, because I'd love to see what anybody comes up with to say why Kurt Russell. But so
my number one pick, I did pick the person, because when I think of a grizzled military vet, I think of one actor.
Nice.
And the reason I think of the one actor is because I'm going to read to you how many times all the characters that I could find.
Okay.
That were military in this guy's acting career. Ready?
Break it down.
Here we go. So we have Sergeant Joe Mooney, Private Snively, Lieutenant Keating, Sergeant Magruder, Corporal Bowman, Lieutenant Colonel Bartlett, Sergeant Lloyd Caracat, Captain John R. Miller, Sergeant Paul Riker, Colonel Flynn O'Flynn, Colonel Harry Wargrave, Sergeant Edgar Millen, let's see, Major John Reisman, the Sergeant.
Yes.
And Colonel Nick Alexander. How many? I didn't even count how many that was, but that's one actor played all those roles, and it's the great, late great Lee Marvin.
Yeah, man.
Now, Lee Marvin, if you don't know, just Google it and you'll see his face and go, that guy. Yeah. And there's three roles I could pick that are perfect grizzled vets that would be perfect in any apocalypse ever anywhere, because you know he would get through it. Because when I think grizzled vet, I think hard boiled.
Oh yeah.
That, and Lee Marvin was always hard boiled. He was either a hard boiled cowboy or a hard boiled military guy, and I don't think he did anything else. Oscar winner, by the way, he won the Oscar for best actor in Cat Blue. I don't know if you've ever seen Cat Blue. That's actually a Western.
Well, I haven't. So I'm a Lee Marvin fan. I'll check it out.
Yeah. Jane Fonda, Lee Marvin. It's a good movie. Obviously, he won an Oscar for it. So, but there's a couple specific versions of him, which would be perfect. And those are his most popular ones, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Major John Reisman from the movie The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great, great movie. I actually, in doing research for this, I put The Dirty Dozen on just to see parts of it, and I ended up watching the whole stupid thing.
I believe it.
The whole movie. So it's so good. So many stars in that and everything, but he's perfect. Like, just no nonsense, does what it takes, will break the rules to make the rules, you know. Mm-hmm. That character's great. And then just as good, maybe even better, the 1980 movie The Big Red One.
Oh, yeah.
With Mark Hamill and Robert Carradine, where he played, his character is literally just called The Sergeant. His character has no name, just The Sergeant. And that's a World War II movie where they're invading North Africa. That movie is so freaking good. And again, he was a World War I veteran who never got promoted past Sergeant and however, like, into World War II, like 30 years later. And just, I mean, that's the perfect grizzled vet. Nothing phases him, and he's got all these young guys that he's mentoring. That's great. That movie's excellent. Underrated, I would say, Big Red One.
And it's, I mean, the fact that he's so good that he loses his name and just becomes known as the Sergeant, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, right? And then his last film role ever was Colonel Nick Alexander in Delta Force.
Oh, wow, okay.
Right? Remember Delta Force?
I do.
I think so that's a Chuck Norris movie, right? Yeah. all I see is Lee Marvin. I, you know, all I see is Lee Marvin. And still, he's like in his early 60s in that movie. It was like a year before he passed away. And he's still going around with the all dressed in black with the black skull cap on. And he's got this, his silenced machine gun. Come on, man.
He's already done this. He's ready to go home for soup at lunch, man. Let's get this apocalypse over with.
And the fun thing about Lee Marvin is he's one of those that great era of actors who played World War II soldiers who was a World War II soldier. Because he served in the Marines and he was wounded in the Battle of Saipan.
Oh, wow.
He's got Purple Heart along with a whole bunch of other medals. I mean, come on. It's great. It's fun, too, because the best part about that is that, you know how, like in Saving Private Ryan, he put them through boot camp and he had, you know, Spielberg, I mean, put the guys through boot camp to try and give them the experience that soldiers back then would get. And had like an advisor on to make sure they were holding stuff right and doing stuff right. Well, the cool thing about Lee Marvin and that era of actor is they actually did it, so they didn't need any of that stuff. So they are standing and holding guns and acting and doing everything like a real World War II soldier did. So it adds this authenticity to all these World War II movies throughout like the 60s and stuff because those guys were there.
Oh, that's great. And it makes Lee Marvin that much more of a badass because essentially they were just paying him to be like, all right, we're going to pay you to show up and be you, I guess, you know?
Yes,
do
yes.
What you do.
It's like, this is you in cowboy times.
I've been there, done that. This is you in the military. I've been there, done that. This is you killing some people that have wronged you. I've been there, done that. It's like, all right, Lee Marvin.
It's just great. Just great. I just would love to see Lee Marvin in an apocalyptic type thing just being awesome and just he had that voice too. Oh man, great. If I come across Lee Marvin on a television, it stops. you just have to watch.
I believe it. If they remake Left 4 Dead, he can voice the actual old man character in it. That'd be great.
So
that'd be a great Easter egg.
Oh, so that's my number one. Lee Marvin in anything that was military.
Oh, hey, I love it. That's excellent. A great first pick. And it sounded like he got promoted with each role he took on after it. I think there were a couple dips, but it sounded like he moved up the ladder pretty high. So.
The dip was when he was the sergeant in The Big Red One, but that's a great movie. If you haven't seen that in a while, see that. And then The Dirty Dozen, you cannot go wrong. I mean, you got like Telly Savalas in it. Who did we just talk about earlier who we thought was in Walking Tall?
Charles Bronson.
Yes. Yeah. It's got Telly Savalas in it. It's got Charles Bronson in it. I mean, come on. It's it's great. So good. And Jim Brown? Is that the football player who's in it? Yeah. Running as fast as he can, throwing those grenades in the vents.
They're classic. There's a reason those war movies have stuck around.
So Lee Marvin. I could talk about him forever.
Well, you're going to be stuck with him for the dystopian future, so you got to have stories to swap.
Yes. So that is our picks. So Mikey's number one pick that will end up on our little Photoshop poster at the end of this exercise is
Kurt Russell in Stargate gear.
And mine is Lee Marvin in, I don't know, any one of those movies that he plays a military man in.
You could have the Photoshop challenge. He could be wearing a military uniform and a cowboy hat. Get both best of both worlds.
I've probably picked the Delta Force, his old man eyebrows.
There you go.
With the black skull cap version.
Custom machine gun. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. I don't even know if they work like that, but who cares? That's when like accuracy, the 80s, those 80s action movies, that's when accuracy went out the window.
Yeah.
It was like, you can't shoot that kind of gun one-handed.
Well, doesn't matter. Show it you looks cool. Yeah.
All right. So what's next? What's next on the list? What do we do next?
Next on our list, we have done military vet. So working down the list, we're going to be picking a gang member, a gang member.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because that's one of our combo ones because we're kind of looking at Left 4 Dead, right? And they have one of the crews has a biker gang member on it and the other one has like a mafia guy on it. So we decided to just squish those together because basically the same thing, organized crime.
Yeah,
so one's motorcycle, one's Cadillac, I guess.
Yeah, both know how to ride though. No, both know how to get around town.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, well, those are our picks for Grizzled Vet for zombie robot slash apocalyptic world that we are entering into. Hopefully not for real. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't feel so good. I got an urge for brains right now. What's happening?
So let us know who you would pick as a grizzled vet in your zombie apocalypse scenario. Mm-hmm. You can hit us up on all the socials at Assuming Pod. We want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the support. Please do let people know about the podcast. Please go to places where you can rate it and give it the highest rating you can, because we love it when you do that. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you so much for listening. We also want to thank That Guy Brad for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, The Pizza Man for our pizza, and Jazzar for doing our music.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will see you guys next week. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Get to the bunker. The zombies are coming.
Get to the bunker. Where should we go, Lee Marvin and Kurt Russell? What do we do? Lead us.
I feel safer already.